It's 26 minutes after the hour. It's a Tuesday morning, and on Tuesday mornings, we are not duty-bound, but we're interested. We're committed. We're intent on having a conversation with Dr. Don Clark. Don is a biochemist, a member of the board at Creation Moments, a good friend of the station, again, the only scientist we have on staff here. And among the topics, we talk about creation and Genesis and the scientific views of biblical creation, and the story. And lately, though, we've been kind of fixated on COVID, and this is one of the topics where we get the biggest listener response. Don Clark, good morning. Don's from coming to us from Garden Valley, Texas. I'm a little flustered this morning, aren't I?
Oh, yes, you are. You're not your usual self. You got too much going on there.
Well, I think I do.
And Skype is not working the way you want it to work.
I've been enhanced a couple of times since we've talked, and I'm figuring it all out like a total Skype rookie here. But also confused, I'm looking at charts here, line graphs and bar graphs, you know, horizontal bar graphs, all these part of an article from Tech Startup that's dated July 17th. And the subject is Dr. Robert Malone. He's one of the five inventors of the mRNA vaccines. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, that term mRNA has to do with the COVID vaccine specifically, does it not? And what does it mean?
Well, I mean, he was developing just a general kind of a mechanism for new vaccines. He suggested this, I guess it was back in 1987, 88, where he suggested, you know, for some of these viruses, why don't we just use messenger RNA? That's what the M stands
mRNA.
For. Then infect people with the messenger RNA to a specific protein of the virus. And then they'll develop immunity, for that particular protein.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily to the virus, but to the protein, which, you know, hopefully would be in the protein coat of the virus when people get infected by
now,
it.
Does this stipulate that the vaccine does not have either living or dead virus in it? So it's totally without virus, correct? Is that what mRNA signifies?
Well, it has a of course RNA is the sister molecule, if you will, to DNA. Mm-hmm. Which is in your nucleus. Mm-hmm. And when you basically express a protein, for example, a protein is needed within your cell, then information gets to the DNA that says, oh, you got to uncoil this particular section of the DNA. That then gets transcribed into the RNA, then the RNA leaves the nucleus of the cell. RNA goes into the cytoplasm, where it hooks up with the endoplasmic reticulum and starts making the proteins via the ribosomes.
So is it fair to say that this COVID vaccine then talks to your DNA?
No, the vaccine does not talk to the DNA.
Okay.
I'm just explaining
what RNA does.
The difference between RNA and DNA. Okay. Is the RNA is then molecule that translates, that the body translates into proteins via the ribosomes in your cell. So when you get infected, well, when you get the messenger RNA into your cells, then your cells will naturally start producing proteins that the messenger RNA codes for.
Okay. Now, I put a link to this particular article from Tech Startups in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com in case some folks would like to follow along. Dr. Malone, who was working on mRNA vaccines, has a concern here, and it relates to the number of vaccinated people to the number of unvaccinated people. And his information, his data here, and I'm not sure whether it's his data or where else it comes from, but it has to do with COVID infections. And within the countries who have the highest COVID vaccination rate, they have the most cases of this Delta variant of the COVID. That's the one that supposedly is sweeping our country here. That is, the most vaccinated countries are having a problem with it. He lines them up against the least vaccinated countries like Ukraine, Belarus, who are down like 5, 7, 9% vaccinated, and they're having virtually no problem at all with the Delta variant. Now, I've heard information recently about how the vaccine will moderate the effects of the Delta variant if you get it. But it seems to me, and I recall from months ago, that's what it does with the COVID-19 virus as well. That is the variant that we originally contracted. I don't know how you designate that. But so this vaccine doesn't prevent you, apparently, from getting the virus. It simply moderates the symptoms. Is that correct?
I don't know if that's correct either. I mean, you know, the that's the problem. There has been no research on the vaccines before they were released. And so we've got a big worldwide clinical study going on, and they're not even collecting appropriate data for this clinical study called mass vaccinations. And so here's part of the problem with the mRNA vaccines. So the mRNA vaccines, the messenger RNA that was synthesized was specific for the spike protein in the original COVID-19 virus. And so that's the only piece of the virus that the messenger RNA codes for. So when people are basically injected with this gene therapy, if you will, the liposome structure is to help get the messenger RNA into your cells. It fuses with the cells, and then the messenger RNA is dumped into the cells, and then your cells go to work and produce proteins, because that's what the endoplasmic reticulum and the ribosomes do, and voila, you start producing the spike protein. Well, that is the most toxic portion of the virus. And so these messenger RNAs are these mRNA vaccines, in quote, because they're not really vaccines. This is totally different technology than any other vaccine and has ever been produced in the world. And so the messenger RNAs then go are producing with the help of your cells, the spike proteins then get leaked into your blood system. Your blood system recognizes it as a foreign protein and then starts to build antibodies and other immune responses to the spike protein. Now, the problem with all of this is that it's very specific. Unlike if you had gotten COVID, you would not only have antibodies against the spike protein, but you would have antibodies against every piece of the virus that you were infected with. Mm-hmm. And so it's much broader protection. And a matter of fact, these studies, the one that you pointed out here, and others that are coming from places like Israel, for example, are showing that those people who have naturally gotten the COVID-19 original infection are not only much less likely to get reinfected, but are not getting infected to the point of 40% of the people who are fully vaccinated are getting reinfected. And this is a study that was reported in Mercola even today from Israel, that 40% of the people in their population who have been fully vaccinated are getting the virus again, whereas I think it's like 0.2% or something of those people who have gotten the original COVID virus are not getting or are getting reinfected. So it's like a 700 times, you have 700 times more protection if you had already gotten COVID than what you're getting from these vaccines. So whether or not the the misinformation that is being proclaimed, you know, portrayed that, oh, if you get reinfected, then it's going to be much less than the original infection that you would have had with COVID. So you're much better off getting the virus. That is to be seen. There is no research on that. And like I said, we are currently doing the research, but we're not collecting data on it. And a matter of fact, any such data as this that, oh, the reinfection rate with the vaccine is much higher than if you had gotten COVID in the first place, then, you know, you are not... that doesn't bode well for a vaccine, in quote, that is supposed to protect you and the population. The other thing that this means is that the vaccine, you will not reach herd immunity with the vaccine because it is not protecting people. And it is such a large percentage of the population that are now getting COVID again or getting COVID who thought they were protected and who basically were lied to by the pharmaceutical companies and the government to say, oh, get the vaccine because it's going to protect you from getting COVID again or from getting COVID. And that obviously is not the case.
Well, the CDC has spoken recently and said vaccinated people do not carry the virus. The president the other day said, if you're vaccinated, you can't get the virus. At the same time, we were finding people dying from the virus who had been fully shot, had had the two shots and should have been immune from the, so that's not true. That's clearly not true.
It's not true. And not only that is, okay, so let's look at that statement. If you have the vaccine, you don't carry the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have the vaccine and you're not expressing any symptoms, whether or not you have the virus is immaterial because you don't have the symptoms. But anybody who doesn't have the symptoms, even if they have the virus, is not at a point of transmitting the virus.
I was going to ask you that. So, and the basic finding was, and we may have discussed this on a previous program, if you're not showing symptoms, you don't have enough of the virus to communicate it.
That's true. That's right. Mm-hmm. So you have to have, you know, the runny nose, the headaches, the whatever, you know, the lack of taste. You have to have symptoms in order to have the viral concentration or population in your in your body high enough to be able to transmit it to another person. So if you, if you're running the normal, I mean, not the normal, but the symptoms of COVID, stay home, protect yourself, treat yourself like with the now multiple protocols for getting rid of the virus, which includes hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and zinc and vitamin D and dexamethasone, at least, some type of anti-inflammatory steroid, you have a much better chance of getting over the COVID quickly and not, it's been shown now that those things will prevent most of the people from going into the hospital with serious side effects.
Okay, so let's say you're feeling ill and you're showing some of these symptoms. It's time to go get a test, is it not? Go to urgent care maybe and say, test me for COVID, because the sooner you can catch it, the more effective these therapeutics are going to be.
Well, you can do that. Certainly, you can go get tested, but you have to find a place that is going to treat you with these agents that have been, that I just described, that have been censored from the normal mainstream media. So you've got to find yourself a doctor that will prescribe, for example, ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or both, and start getting treated.
Doctors averse to doing that? Can you go to anybody who's practicing a practicing MD and get a prescription for those if you ask for it?
Maybe not, because a lot of these folks are, they're subject to their, if they work for a hospital, for example, the hospital may say, we are not treating COVID patients with these drugs that now have been proven without a shadow of a doubt to be effective in shortening the illness time frame and preventing serious side effects.
You have to do your own research to find out who in your area is amenable to prescribing these things for you.
It'd be best to do that ahead of time.
Yes, that's a good idea.
The first thing you can do when you have symptoms like that, take zinc, take vitamin C, large quantities of vitamin C. You can take a gram, 2 grams, whatever. Vitamin C is not going to hurt you. Take vitamin D if you haven't been taking vitamin D. Build up your immune system that way. And then when you can get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, go ahead and do that. You can also nebulize with low concentrations of hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide also is very effective of killing the virus in your nasal passages and in your in your bronchial tubes. You can breathe basically.
When you say nebulize, you spray it.
There's little like vacuum, little pumps.
Okay.
And a nebulizer. You put the solution in the nebulizer, and you just breathe a mist. Basically, is what you're doing. And that is also
so a normal vaporizer with that formula would suffice.
Well, a nebulizer, you actually wear a mask.
Okay,
and,
I got you.
So it's concentrated over your nose and your mouth, and you can breathe it in. Now, don't use high concentrations of hydrogen peroxide, and you have to get food-grade hydrogen peroxide and not your normal hydrogen peroxide off the shelf.
Right.
Because it's, the food grade doesn't have other additives in it that you don't want to be breathing in.
But it's more concentrated, so you need to dilute it with water.
You need to dilute it with water or with, if you have a filtered water, it would be the best thing. And, do that. And I think you can, the concentration that is effective is like 0.1% of hydrogen peroxide. So it's not very concentrated. The hydrogen peroxide that you get at your drugstore or Walmart or whatever is 3%. Food grade hydrogen peroxide is typically 12%.
Okay.
So you got to really dilute it in order to get down to 0.1%.
Okay.
But if anybody has any questions on this, Mercola on his website has tons of information.
MERCOLA.com, Mercola.com. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's go to 30,000 feet. The statement that we cannot obtain herd immunity with this vaccine is stunning to me, and it should be obvious to the powers that be, I would think, and we're not hearing that. If we go back 30, 40, 50 years to measles and chickenpox and so forth, moms used to get their young kids together and have them play together and expose the other kids to the one who had measles or chickenpox in order to get them sick young when it could be dealt with safely. It seems like that's no longer common sense, but the human race has survived for a long time despite attacks by numerous viruses and bacterias. This thing called herd immunity is something that happens naturally in the course of a virus lifetime. We're seeing a similar pattern, I think, with COVID. It's behaving like other viruses do, but because we're so enamored of this technology, it seems like we have neutralized the natural human response to viruses, we spoiled it with technology. Would you go along with it? Yeah.
Yes, we not only spoiled it, but we have short-circuited the natural process by, fooling your immune system that, you got a foreign body. Yes, you do have a foreign body, but it's only, like I said, just one part of the virus. And so you get a little variation within the spike protein as the Delta protein, the Delta virus is, and your body doesn't recognize it anymore, and lo and behold, you're getting sick. Mm-hmm. The best way to get herd immunity is allow people to get sick and to manage the symptoms with these other drugs, which we now have, from worldwide studies, works quite well.
And we knew that a year ago, didn't we?
We knew it a year ago, and the big crime here is that those type of things were suppressed so that the officials, those that make these decisions at the FDA and the CDC, if you have reasonable alternatives for controlling a disease, you cannot get emergency use authorization on a drug or a device or whatever. And therein lies the major story behind the vaccines.
And I just want to mention to listeners, too, that Dr. Don is a biochemist with extensive experience in pharmaceuticals from years ago. And what we're dealing with here is something he dealt with then within the pharmaceutical industry. So he's seen it from the inside, and he's been part of clinical research. So this is vital information for people. And if you're listening now and you get a chance to share the podcast, I think you should. And we'll include some links in that podcast to these articles we're talking about. How about masks? What makes us think they work? What research, when they say follow the science? Who said that?
Yes, exactly. Well, that's what, certain political parties were saying. Masks, it's all over the map. The only mask that has been shown effective are these N95 masks that have small enough pore sizes to actually block the virus. These blue masks, surgical masks that you can buy at Walmart or even Lowe's has, had these masks, do absolutely nothing because the pore sizes, it's like a mosquito going through a hurricane fence.
Mm-hmm.
The mosquito is not going to be blocked by the hurricane fence, and neither is the virus going to be blocked by these blue surgical masks or by the cloth masks that you make at home.
So hospitals are handing them out. Shouldn't they know better if they want to be serious about masks? They give you one of these.
They should know better, but the problem is people are trained the hospital comes up with a protocol, or the medical association within a state comes up with a protocol and distributes it to the hospitals. And the hospitals have been trained that, okay, this is the official protocol, and so therefore we're going to follow the official protocol. The medicine today has drifted far away from the medicine of the past, where actually a physician was trained to actually treat people the way they saw fit, but with all the litigation and everything, that has gone by the wayside, and you open yourself up, you meaning the hospital and the physician opens himself up, if he treats a person that is not by the official protocol coming down from the state or even coming down from the federal government. So we have a medical system today that cares more about litigation or not being litigated than we do about actually caring for people. And so a mask, well, it's not going to hurt. People aren't going to necessarily die from wearing a mask. They will die if they wear N95 masks for too long because that blocks, and then you get CO2 poisoning from your own breath. But those aren't to be worn more than 30 minutes, you know, at a time. Otherwise, you'll start getting dizzy and could actually pass out. But the surgical mask, you could wear them for extended period of time. But obviously you can see what side of the picture I'm on that. But that's after reading all kinds of literature on the subject and studies of permeabilities of these masks. And, people still get, you wear a mask and you're inside and people still get, infected. So what does that tell you? That tells you that the mask isn't effective.
Mm-hmm. It also seems to imply that the vaccine isn't either. If you can still get COVID after vaccination, and you're saying it may not even moderate or modify the symptoms, I'm wondering what, and I'm thinking of these Texas reps that flew to Washington, 55 people who have been vaccinated, and six of them, maybe 10-12% of them, come down with COVID anyway. What if none of them had been vaccinated? Would it have been the same? In other words, the vaccine is not making much difference at all.
Of course, that experiment we can't necessarily do. The best thing that people could have done, looking in hindsight, is from the very beginning, let's just go about our business. If you're sick, stay home. Mm-hmm. That type of thing. And allow the population to actually get COVID and build up natural immunity. The natural immunity, like I said, is far superior than the immunity, this artificial immunity that you're getting from the vaccine. We would have been at herd immunity by this time, like those nations who have not had the vaccine available to them. They have built up herd immunity, and that's why their numbers are not going up.
That's the point of this article that I placed in the chat window, and it's that has to do with Dr. Malone's concern about the vaccination. I have a whole bank of other questions, but we're somewhat limited by time here. Is there a place you said you have to do your own research? Who do you trust for valid information?
I get a lot of emails from a lot of different types of organizations, but the one I go to mostly is Mercola, Mercola.com. He has a ton of information from various experts, including Dr. Malone.
Dr. Malone, yes, he does.
That you talked about. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Malone, actually, there is a video, and I think it was by Epic Times TV that interviewed him. Don't quote me on it, but he has like an hour interview with the interviewer, he goes through the whole process from him discovering or coming up with messenger RNA as a possible means of creating immunity, and his concerns for this type of technology with the way it is being managed, that is, no data or very limited, unclean data that is following these clinical, you would never do a clinical trial like this with no data collection. You can report it if you get sick, you can report it, but then at the CDC, and we're cleaning up the data to make it say what we want to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is absolutely criminal what is happening with this the massive clinical trials that are going on without collecting the data.
In your opinion, is COVID-19 a more deadly virus than any other virus?
It doesn't appear that way. I mean, we didn't have a flu season yet last year. I mean, we because anybody who got flu was determined, oh, you've got COVID, so therefore you go into the COVID category. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to build up the numbers of infected people with COVID, but we didn't have any heart attacks. We didn't have any, people weren't dying of anything else but COVID, like they normally would. And so there was a big cover-up campaign. But this is not the actual numbers of people who have died, who actually died from COVID and not from other conditions that they would have died from anyway, is in the same ballpark of a bad flu season.
Mm-hmm.
So we started off this whole thing, you know, with this mass scare, which I believe was completely politically motivated and not had anything to do with your health and your well-being. And anyway, this is where we are today. And now those people who have gotten the vaccine think they're completely protected when indeed they're not.
Gee, that's encouraging, Don.
Well, I'm sorry. This is the way it's going.
Well, sometimes the truth hurts, and that's what it sounds like we're getting from Dr. Don and from numerous other sources. And we'll look forward to getting the podcast up of our conversation today on BrokenRoadRadio.com. Should be up there a little later this afternoon. And you can pass it around and share it. And, you know, Don, I just, so people know, if you have the badge of honor, meaning a Facebook cancellation, you've got one. Actually, they didn't cancel you.
That's true.
You put an opinion out there, and they overlaid a link to their vaccine push page where they're selling, well, they're advocating strongly, urging everybody to get vaccines with fancy commercials and ads and all kinds of things. So,
well, that's another story, you know, in itself, mm-hmm. and maybe we should tackle that sometime.
Let's take a look at it next week, because I think we need to talk about this some more. I think we really do.
Okay.
Don, thanks so much. Appreciate your expertise and your time and your heart in this matter. And we'll talk to you next week. Okay?
Okay, Doug.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one. So long.